Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who was and is to come. Amen. I want you to think of the worst smell that you've ever smelled. Not just unpleasant, but the kind that gets into your clothes, gets into your hair if you have it. The kind that lives in your nose and it doesn't leave when you leave the room. Maybe even you've showered, you've changed clothes, you're 3 days and three states away, and somehow it's still there, just kind of like waiting behind your eyes, ready to come back at any moment something reminds you of it. Some smells don't wash all the way out. They just kind of fade until maybe you stop noticing them, and then, without warning, you're right back in it. And part of you wonders if you'll ever be clean again. I think the sun in this familiar story from Luke's gospel has that kind of smell on him. Literally and figuratively. You see, he'd asked his father for his share of the inheritance early, which is real close to saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead." His father gave it to him anyway, and the son took it and left and spent it all. And when the money ran out, so did his friends. And he ended up doing the one job that would have humiliated and brought shame on a Jewish son: feeding pigs. He was so hungry that the kid eyed what the pigs were eating. Weeks of that. Weeks of the smell of the pig pen soaking into his skin, his clothes, his hair. Weeks of hunger doing what hunger does to a person's thinking. And then Luke tells us that he came to himself, came to his senses. Now, we tend to hear that as the turning point in the story. The moment where the son finally sees what he's done, hits rock bottom. But I want you to look at what actually happens next. Because I don't think he crafts a confession. He's perfecting a pitch. He says, "I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him." He rehearses the line, calculates the angle. Because as Pastor Los noted in this week's Gospel Unplugged, shout out to you regular Gospel Unplugged viewers, thanks for your commitment. Every other time in Luke's Gospel where someone talks to themselves in this sort of way, a rich man plotting bigger barns, a dishonest manager covering his tracks, it's never a moment where the person gets honest. It's the moment where you catch them scheming. So I don't think the son has changed at all. He's just desperate enough and hungry enough to try a new angle on dear old dad. He's filthy on the outside from the pig fields, and he's filthy on the inside. Still working the math, seeing if he can sneak his way back onto daddy's payroll. Treat me like one of your hired hands. That's the ceiling of what he thinks he deserves. A job, a cot, and enough bread to fill his stomach. We don't actually know if he's sorry. Luke never tells us. And I don't think that's an accident. I think we're not supposed to know. Because the story was never about what was happening on the inside or outside of the son. It's not about what he deserves. It's a story that's all about Dad. You see, when the son was still far off, while he's still rehearsing his pitch, still smelling like the pig fields, still every bit the son who was once bold enough to tell his father he'd rather have money than a relationship, his father sees him, and his father runs to him. It's worth noting that a grown man in this world did not run. Running meant you had to hike up your robes, showing your legs in public. It would be beneath a man of this guy's standing, an indignity. But the father runs anyway, straight down the road, and gets to his son and throws his arms around him and kisses him, burying his face in the stench of his son. Before the son says a single word, before anyone has verified anything, his story, his sincerity, his plan, the father doesn't wait to find out if the coming to himself was real. He just runs toward his stinking, filthy son and holds him. Then the son starts his speech, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Yeah, he's right. He gets that far, and the father doesn't even seem to be listening to the pitch. He's already turning to the servants. "Bring the robe." Not just any robe, the best one. A ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. Because slaves went barefoot, and sons did not. "And then kill the fatted calf, because we're having a feast." Notice what the son never gets to say. "Treat me like one of your hired hands." That's the scheme. That's the ask that he's rehearsed the entire way home. And his father cuts him off before he can even name it. The son came home hoping to negotiate his way to bread. And he gets a robe instead. That's not the father overlooking what's happened. I don't think he's pretending that his son doesn't stink. It's not as though what the son has done doesn't stink. It's that whatever the son was scheming for was never going to be big enough to compete with what the father was already planning to give. You cannot out-scheme a father who was never doing the math that you're doing. The son's whole plan just becomes unnecessary. It's not exposed or rejected. It just is quietly and profoundly overwhelmed by a love that was already running toward him before he even opened his mouth. And that's what I want you to hear this morning. Whatever you carry into this room today, you do not have to arrive with your motive sorted out. You do not have to know if you're sorry enough or sincere enough or finished scheming or still working an angle that you haven't even fully admitted to yourself. God's not waiting by the parking lot door checking hearts before running to grab you. God comes for you no matter what and throws the robe around you. Not because you deserve it. You don't. None of us do. Not according to the math that we're used to running. Not because you've earned your way to being clean. You haven't, and you won't. Not with any angle that you possibly could come up with. No, instead, there is something that gets laid over you that nothing you've done, that nothing you're still doing can touch. Ring on your finger. Sandals on your feet. Named a child again before you've proven a single thing. You're not clean because you finally got the smell out. You're clean because a love that you never deserved got laid over you, covered every bit of you. And now you're right where you belong. Home. Forever. Amen.